Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
I get the privilege of bringing the word today, and I'm so excited. We are just in a beautiful time as we get to unpack more and more the heart of our church in this year, that we would be committed to following the one, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that as we do that, that God impresses, is directing, has been speaking to us about helping the one that is in our world as well. And I'm going to take a moment to obviously read some scripture, which is advised, you know, when you're bringing the word. But we're going to be looking at some of the Gospels, and looking today at Matthew, and just unpacking some simple truths that are in the Word, but I really believe are going to continue to help us as we continue to follow Jesus as individuals in this journey. And I always apologize, church, because a lot of this is out of the overflow of what God's doing in my own life. And I love that God, sometimes He puts an arm around me, and sometimes He, you know, just... Because I need it as much as we all do, that we would continue to be aligned with the teachings of Christ. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll jump into the Word. Heavenly Father, I love that we get together under the greatest name of all, the name of Jesus. And Father, that name, it saves. That name has power to change and to transform. And we pray, God, as the Word goes out today, God, would you bless it? Would you anoint it? That would be revelation to each and every individual according to what they are needing today, God. You know the stories and you know the journeys, God, and I pray that you would speak so clearly, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone said, amen. For those of you who brought your Bibles, you can turn with me. We're going to start from Matthew 7, 15 to 20. We'll be reading from Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. This is an account of Jesus preaching one of his standout sermons, if you'd say. In most Bibles, it'll be titled The Sermon on the Mount. And when we get to chapter 7, this is the third and kind of final chapter of a number of different teachings that Jesus shared on a whole range of different subjects. I'm not going to lie, three chapters is a long sermon, and so you'll be glad that we're not doing all three today. So don't worry, you can get home in time for lunch, which is going to be great. But teachings of Jesus in this time were revolutionary. They were things that were spoken in the language of the time, but were very countercultural to the way people operated and understood things. But what I love about Jesus, he also used language and things that made it simple for people to understand the teachings that he was wanting to bring to life. And it's amazing that what was true over 2,000 years ago is true today, that we can still, through these teachings, gain knowledge and understanding as to how we can continue to walk and be followers of Christ, to follow the one. Matthew 7, verse 15, it says this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Can everyone say fruits with me? "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so," verse 17, "every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire, and therefore by their fruits you will know them." I'll read verse 20 again. "Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." I love that Jesus uses something that we can all, I guess, relate to, the idea of a fruit, to describe the product of what it would look like to know the legitimacy or the authenticity of people in our world. Like, are they the real deal? How am I going to know that? Well, what's their fruit like? I think the idea of fruit, I don't know what your favorite fruit is, you know, maybe you love a mango. Any mango fans in here? Oh, yes. It's the tropicals, you know. Watermelon? Oh, so good. Pineapple? Oh, let's go. We could go all day. Who just likes a good apple? You know, just a sturdy five-a-day apple, you know. So good. The thing is about an apple, though, is I don't know if you've ever experienced this. It looks great on the outside. Oh, you're ready to bite into that thing. Maybe you even polish it a little bit because I don't know how that's going to make it look taste different, but you do it anyway. Then you take a bite into that sucker and it's flowery. Oh, so heartbreaking. Or worse, you take a bite and then you look down and you see there's a worm inside. Oh. I was talking to someone after the service and they said, you know, there's one thing that's even worse than when you bite it and find a worm is when you bite it and you see half a worm. I was like, that's a good one. I'm going to use it. So credit to them. But it begs us to ask ourselves the question, what does the fruit of your life look like? Is it good fruit? Is it fruit that is healthy? And I was thinking, you know, I was like, man, I need a real good title for this message, you know, and I was arming and ahhing because, you know, they say if you've got a title, it'll help people remember the message, you know, kind of all this stuff, communication. And I was like, oh, Fruity Loops. And I was like, it doesn't quite work and stuff. So I actually didn't have a title for the 9 a.m. service. I know, heartbreak, but the Lord delivers. Because I don't know what it is about the 11 a.m., but something came to me. So the title of this message is Fruitful or Fruitless? I know the team don't really have it on the screen because I just like had that in worship just now. It's like fruitful or fruitless. And you can write that down because I really truly believe that if you would ask any of us in the room, we all want to live fruitful lives. We all want to live abundant lives where there's things that are overflowing out of who we are that are a blessing to others. And I guess the question today, are you living a fruitful life or are you living a fruitless life? Because in this scripture, Jesus makes it very clear that people would be able to identify if what we profess, if how of who we are is the real deal by our fruit. And so the first thing that I want you to write down about this idea around a fruitful life is that the fruit of my life or of your life identifies you and me as followers of Christ. Actually, the fruit that we have in our lives identifies us as followers of Christ. My father-in-law, they recently came up to celebrate Zendaya's birthday a few weeks ago. As they were doing that there in this season, they've been looking for a new car because they've got this lovely caravan. You know, shout out to the retired life. It's just brilliant. And so I won't bore you with the specs that I had to sit through as he told me how it had to tow a certain, you know, weight and all this sort of stuff and had to have this chain. And anyway, look, I'm just relieving the trauma of having to listen to that. Nah, it was great. It was a great conversation. Is this being recorded? jokes. Don't you tell my father-in-law. He's a great man. Anyway, look, back to the story. So they come up and he's been looking a lot, and he's actually found a vehicle in Tauranga. And he calls somebody on the phone to ask questions, all the questions he asks, you know, he gets a salesperson and he's talking through it. And the guy's like, hey, the car is actually still on the boat, coming into the country, but we'll put it aside for you. All you got to do is pay a deposit. But if you don't actually want the car after seeing it, we'll give you your deposit back. And it's this just beautiful transaction of kind of like, you know, like setting up this whole sale. Finally get there, they look at the car, and you know, this gentleman is just going over and above in everything that he's doing and helping them around. And my father-in-law just kind of goes, I just mean to ask, like, are you a Christian? And this guy goes, yeah. And he goes, you know what, I knew it. There was something about the way you did what you did in terms of, I didn't feel manipulated into having to buy this vehicle. I felt looked after. You had patience with me in every conversation that we had. You were able to look after us. You showed time. Church, can I say this, that people should be able to identify that we are followers of Christ because of our fruit. Are we kind? Are we patient? Are we loving when things don't quite go our way? Like, do we throw the toys out of the court? Or do we take time to listen and to be people They show good fruit. And what is this fruit? For the most perceptive of you, you know where this message is going, because we're going to the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 26 says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. In my version, it says forbearance. That word there is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. You know, I think about the life of Jesus as he comes and declares that he is the Messiah. In that time and in that age, the Jewish people had been waiting and knew of the promise of the coming Messiah. But there had been others that had tried to rise up and proclaim that they were, or maybe overthrow the tyranny and the oppression of the time. Yet their fruit didn't testify to them being the Son of God. So Jesus comes along and starts to preach that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And people gather around this man. People leave things and professions to follow this man. Why is it? Because there was a fruitfulness about who he was. That when he spoke with the authority of heaven, those that needed healing were healed. There was a fruitfulness about the person of Jesus. That when he saw people that were brought to him and people were saying, they've done wrong, you should stone her for everything she's done, and he showed compassion and love. There was a fruitfulness about the person of Jesus. And my second point is this: not only does the fruit of my life identify me as a follower of Christ, but the fruit of my life attracts others to follow Jesus. The fruit of our life attracts others to follow Jesus. As a follower of Christ, do you love more? As a follower of Christ, are you more patient? And church, look, I'm being real. Like, the patience thing, working on it. Working on it. On a Sunday? Yeah, great. High five. Pastor, yes, great. Yeah, how's life? Yeah, awesome. You know, it's so chill and stuff. Get me on the Southwestern on the 20 in my car in peak hour traffic. Hoo-wee. That off-ramp, but only hunger? Man. I'm just like, you indicated once, man. Come on, man. Stop. Am I known by the fruit of my life? And it's not about perfection. I think God is calling all of us into a journey, and he's asking, hey, as a follower of me, as you follow the one, are you kinder? Are you more generous? Are you more gentle? Are you prickly? And when anyone comes alongside you, they feel like, oh, we got to walk around eggshells around you all, because you're letting the fruit of the Spirit develop in your life. Are you attractive? Or maybe for some of us, we've bought into behavior modification and we look good on the outside, but we're a flowery apple on the inside. We're a wormy apple on the inside. God wants us to bear good fruit. I love the story in John 4 where Jesus encounters a woman at a well. She's a Samaritan woman, and context of kind of this story is that at the time, Jewish people didn't really mix with the Samaritans. In fact, Jesus kind of makes a bit of a detour to go to this place, ends up having this wonderful conversation with her where he asks her for water. They end up talking about her journey and her life story, about the fact that she's had many different husbands, but relationship after relationship actually hasn't been able to satisfy. And you'd think in that moment, as she's talking to another man, she would feel shame and guilt about her past. But this man, he's a different man. He doesn't cause her to feel like that, because there is a fruit about how he loves and how he cares and how he's kind. And so he begins, out of the overflow of who he is, to speak life into her life and says that you keep coming here in the middle of the day to draw out water when no one else is around, no one else will see you, because you don't want to to carry the shame. He says, hey, time to stop trying to drink out of the natural. And I, who is here, is one that is able to give you water that if you would drink from it, you will never thirst again. She has been shown a grace and a love that makes her attractive to follow Jesus. So much so that she leaves him and runs back to her town. And she's like, guys, you've got to come and see this guy that I met. It's like, oh, is it one of your other dudes? No. This guy is different. Sorry, that's not in the Bible, but that's just kind of how I play it out in my mind. This guy's different, man. Come and see what he has said to me. He knew everything about me, yet he didn't judge me. He didn't point a finger and say you needed to do this better and do that better, but he offered a pathway for me to discover what it means to have true life. Friend, is there anybody in the room who knows their own story, their own journey, but is privileged that they have found Jesus who has been able to show you a path that you can follow him? Fruit in our life should be attractive. In your workplace, are you known as somebody where everyone else is maybe responding to something out of anger or frustration? Are you known as the one that is able to have self-control and able to have a discipline and say, you know what, I'm actually going to choose to respond in an honoring way, in a loving way, in a kind way? I remember just a few weeks ago, I ended up having a conversation in the foyer with a lovely gentleman who's been coming to our church just over a month or so. And in this chat, I just got to ask him, hey, just tell me a little bit about your story. And he's just saying, hey, I just knew I needed to come to church because my life was a mess. I was an angry person and would drink a lot. And I was like, well, how is that journey going since you've been coming to church? Like, has anything changed with meeting Jesus? He's like, I haven't touched alcohol in the last 4 weeks. I'm not as angry as I was because I'm, you know, like I've discovered this love. And I know I'm like, man, he's still got a journey to walk. Who knows that it's not done yet. But at the same time, like even for him, at about 4 weeks of journeying with Christ, he's discovering that there is a fruit that takes place. Something shifts, something transforms as we choose to follow Christ. And I'm like, what about your family? Do they come to church? And he's like, nah, not yet and stuff. But my wife, she's actually been noticing that something's been changing. And I thought to myself, God, this is a setup for you to do what you do best, because as the fruit in his life for being loving and being generous and being kind and being merciful, as that grows within himself, I'm 100% positive that it's going to cause an attractiveness about his life. And you know, it's so, you know, amazing. I heard that he's actually getting baptized at our Easter service as well. And I'm just like, God, how good. That's what happens when we choose to follow the one. And I think at this moment, it's like, okay, cool. I'm getting it. Fruit. Am I fruitful or am I fruitless? I think sometimes for me, I've sat in messages like this or heard the word, and out of my hunger and maybe desire, it's like, okay, cool, I need to be more fruitful. I end up trying to go and do it in my own strength. I end up trying to go and strive and make it happen and make myself better and make myself this, only to find that I end up expending so much more energy than I need to. And so in reading John 15, verse 1 to 8, I just found like a piece, and I want to read it to us today, because this is Jesus Christ again teaching, but he says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, verse 7, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves as my disciples. How will the world know that we're followers of the one? How will the one that Jesus has called you to represent him to know that you are a follower of the one? It's by the fruit of your life, the testimony of how God is transforming and changing you and causing the former things to go and you to take up a new nature in Christ. The third thing is, not only does the fruit of my life identify me as a follower of Christ, not only does the fruit of my life attract others to follow Jesus, the fruit in my life flourishes in his presence. The fruit in my life flourishes in his presence. As a dad, as I said, we've just had Zendaya turn 2. She's great. And I remember having some funny conversations with my wife when she was probably a few months old, because, I don't know, maybe it's just a dad thing, but I'm like, cool, we've got this kid now, prayed for you a lot, believed for you, but man, you just want to eat, you just want to sleep, and you just want to nappy change constantly. Like, do you do anything else? Like, I'm kind of bored now, you know, like just do something, you know, just going to put her down, and she just stayed there. I'm like, cool, all right, still there. Now, I just wish we could go back there. How I miss those days. The days I complained about, now I'm like, Lord, can she just stay there? Remain, Zendaya. It's funny, you know, sometimes she'll come in the kitchen, she's like asking for food and she wants something, and, you know, it's apparently kind of like busy doing stuff. The other day, I think she was, like, we'd had breakfast, but for some reason she was still hungry. She just wanted something to eat. And I'm just like, yeah, like, you've had something, I'll get you something in a moment. And she just comes and she just grabs a loaf of bread. And I'm like, nah, okay, I should probably follow that up. But then I just didn't move quick enough. And then it's kind of just, I kind of forgot. And I'm like, my daughter's been quiet for a long time. She had taken this loaf of bread, gone behind our couch, was sitting there, had taken like 5 or 6 different pieces and was just eating bread. Like nothing on it, just like chowing down. And it's a mess behind the couch. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, bread, dada. I'm like, yes, I know. But how funny is it, as I'm kind of thinking to myself, man, God, I just wish you could just remain and stay in the same place that the Holy Spirit goes, oh, teaching moment for you, because how many times have I asked you to remain, to be still, to be patient, to stay grafted into me, and yet you find yourself running around, trying to do things in your own strength, creating a bigger mess for yourself that then I have to try and clean up on your behalf. But what if you just learned the art of remaining? Staying in his presence. Because the thing is about fruitfulness that I've discovered, and I'm not really like anyone who's good at like gardening or like horticulture or anything like that, but I love the picture it paints, that when we actually choose to remain, it's actually less effort. Think about it. The branch, when it's connected, doesn't have to strive to grow and to bear fruit. It's actually in its remaining and staying attached that it gets the nutrients, the sustenance, and everything that it needs to produce the fruit. So much so, we think that what we need to do is, well, I came to church, I remained, but now I'm going back, and so I'll try and do everything in my own strength. No. The Holy Spirit is present and alive and available for us at every moment and every time. He's not just in here in an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. He's able to be accessed by you at any moment and any time. Newsflash, he wants to have interaction with you at any moment and at every time. He wants us to remain. And I think for sometimes, because of all the thoughts and everything we've got to get done, everything we've got to be for people, and I know for myself, there's need here, there's need there, I got to respond to this, I got to respond to that. So much of the time I find myself running around and I haven't even stopped to just pray. Invite him in and remain. God, what's your perspective on the situation?
God, right now, as I'm reading this email, I just want to tell them what it is and say it like it is. But God, all right, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. All right, maybe I just need to take a breath. Maybe I need to invite someone else into this conversation to help me gain a new perspective. That's remaining. It can be very practical. It doesn't mean that you put on 4 hours of worship music every day and that all the time. Like, if you want to, like, do that as well. But it sometimes can be as simple as saying, Holy Spirit, I'm about to walk into this meeting. I know it might not go the way it's going to go. I need you. It's about remaining and acknowledging that we need Him in every part of our life. Am I trying to do this fruitful thing in my own strength? Or am I just learning that His yoke is actually easy, His burden is light? His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Yes, does that mean that in certain times I'm going to have to make decisions and choices that feel difficult? 100%. But when you make them from a place of remaining, there's a grace and a peace that comes on you because there is the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He gives us the power. He gives us the peace in our mind that it's not a worry anymore. You know, that verse where it talks about the yoke is easy, the burden is light, in the Message version, something that really just has caught my spirit, and it goes on to say that you actually invite me, Jesus, to learn the unforced rhythms of your grace. There is a rhythm that God wants to invite all of us into where we discover that this life that He's called us to live for Him is not one that He wants us to do out of striving or a religious tick box, but actually in the place of continually coming back to a place where I remain, I discover that there is a rhythm and a flow to how He has designed life that I get access to, and I begin to become fruitful. As the team comes and joins me, I believe when we choose to remain faithful, we learn to love more. We bring our joy to every room and into every environment that we're in. We bring peace to situations that maybe are filled with hate. We bring patience, kindness, goodness. We're faithful, we're able to see things through, we don't give up. There's a gentleness to who we are and the way we speak and the way we conduct ourselves. Like Jesus, when He was tempted, we're able to come against the attack of the enemy in our lives and actually stand in God's word because we are remaining and we're letting the fruit in our lives become fruitful. Are you fruitful? Are you fruitless? I've discovered, though, that it takes time to be fruitful. It takes time. But it's okay. Because God's not in a rush. I think we are. Because we buy into maybe the opinions of people. Oh, in 2024, you made a New Year's resolution that you're going to make church this thing. And so we see how you're going. Well, we're just going to see how you do. Probably going to trip up again, and we let those words begin to cause us to try and perform or try and live out of a grace that's not what God's called us to live out of. God is okay with going on the journey with you. Because He doesn't want just a patch-up job. He wants transformation that takes place from the inside out. That when you truly say that you love someone and they're an enemy, you can truly mean it. Then when you're truly faced with a situation that is too big for you, you can respond in a way that maybe you didn't used to respond in the past. It takes time. It's okay. I did some research, as it's wise to do, since this is not a strength of mine. And I found out that grapes actually take about 2 to 3 years after being planted for the fruit to come. Think about that. 2 to 3 years. I know we can kind of breeze past that. But imagine if you were waiting for that fruit. That's a long time. 2 to 3 years. So which means for some of us, maybe you're new to faith. You've been doing this a couple of months and you're going, whoa, man, I don't think I'm seeing it. Friend, can I encourage you? 1 foot in front of the other. Just keep remaining. Just keep turning up. Just keep being a part of his house. Just keep getting connected in a group. Just keep following Jesus. Just keep, because trust me, if we remain, the fruit's coming. But here's the best part. That's why I love research. It's good. If the fruit is looked after well, the grapevine is looked after well, they can produce fruit for up to 100 years. Oh, can I break it down? Because I love God's word like this. So when he then says that you are going to be a blessing, not only to your children, but to your children's children, what started off as, God, I'm committing to follow you and be a follower of the one, and God, I'm going to let you work in my life to bear fruit and be fruitful, in decades and in centuries to come, what started off as a decision of obedience has hundreds and maybe thousands of people on the other side who are saying, thank God for great, great grandma. Thank God for great, great granddad who made a decision and a choice to be fruitful. It takes time, but it's okay. And I want to pray for people this morning. Because, man, I think what the enemy will try and do as we start to really gain and get the heart of Jesus is to distort. And I think to cause some of us to try and start doing it out of religious effort. Jesus is coming against the teachings of the Pharisees that had begun to bring a burden on people that God never asked them to carry. And he's saying, I want to bring you freedom. I think for some of us, the joy of following Jesus, I think you're going to discover it to a new degree this year, but it's not going to be by just striving more. It's going to be by remaining. Trusting that the gardener who tends to the vine is going to prune, he's going to cut off, but he's more committed to your fruitfulness than you will ever be. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, you're saying, hey, TC, I just want to be included in that prayer. Just, I find myself right now and maybe I've slipped into performance. I've slipped into trying to work this thing out. Or maybe for you, you're hearing some of those fruits of the Spirit and you're going, man, I need to work on some of those. I don't know what that looks like, but I just want to pray for you. If you just lift up your hand right where you're seated, I just want to know who I'm praying for. You say, hey, that's a word for me today. I want to be more fruitful. I want to bear more fruit in my life. Awesome. Hands going up. Brilliant. Holy Spirit, you see every hand that is raised as a sign and an acknowledgement, God, of our need for you. I now ask, God, in the only way you can, that you would simultaneously meet the needs of everyone who has lifted up their hands. Father, that they would learn the unforced rhythms of your grace. Father, I speak against shame and condemnation. Father, that they are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. Father, I declare that they would have a new mind in Christ, that they will be able to see themselves, God, as the person who you are working in, God, to make them righteous, God, not through their own work, God, but through what you have done in us, Christ. Strengthen them, God, in the journey, Lord. Father, where there's hopelessness, God, right now I speak for fresh hope and a confidence, God, to stand up again, to walk again, God, to press in again, Holy Spirit. Father, for those that have found themselves far away, God, from remaining and maybe even feel cut out or away from you, God, I just pray, Lord, a freshness right now. That you meet them, Holy Spirit, that your love would lead them to the cross afresh. And just right now, in the same atmosphere, if you would keep your eyes closed, I just want to ask if there are those that maybe you've come along today and you're hearing this message and you know you're not actually connected to the vine. You're not connected to Jesus. You don't have a relationship with him. Friend, he loves you. He so, so loves you. The Bible makes it clear that because of who he is, and his love for you and I, he's done everything he can to make a way that we would discover what it means to have relationship with God. That means our sin, anything that separates us from God, has been dealt with because of the decision Jesus made to go on the cross, die for our sins, and be resurrected. So by saying yes to Jesus, you can gain a new revelation and find what it is to have the forgiveness, the complete forgiveness for anything and everything that you've done. You can find and discover what it means to now discover the restoration and the power of walking with Christ and learning what it is to discover freedom in the different areas of your life. But it starts from a place of complete surrender. Actually choosing to make him the Lord of your life. That means that you're going to have to maybe say no to some stuff so that you can say yes to him. But it's never that he would shortchange you, friend. It's that you would discover the life that he actually created you for. A life of abundance and of wholeness and a life that is full of joy. So if I'm speaking to you today, you don't know what it is to be in relationship with Jesus. You know that today you are away from him. Maybe you once used to walk with him, but through action or decision, you find yourself separated from him. Friend, he's never turned his back on you and he wants to have relationship with you today. Right across this room, if I'm speaking to you, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift up your hand. I'm going to see it right where you're seated. And you can put it straight down. If you're saying, TC, would you include me in the prayer to make Jesus my Lord? God bless you over there. See that hand? Anyone else? Say, TC, God bless you over here. God bless you in the middle over here. God bless you over there. God bless you over there, ma'am. At the back there, God bless you. Is there anyone else? Just lift your hand high enough so I can see it. God bless you over here. God bless you over here. God bless you over here. Ma'am, I see you over here. God bless you. At the back there, I see that hand. God loves you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Young guy over here. God bless you. I say, yes, TC, would you include me in that prayer? Just give you a couple more moments. Just wave your hand and say, I don't want to miss anyone. Awesome. God bless you over there. Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray this prayer. It's a powerful prayer. I'm going to ask those that lifted up their hands to repeat it after me. But church, we're actually going to pray in support of them together as well. So why don't you repeat after me and say, Dear Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I need your love. And I need your forgiveness. I declare that I'm a follower of Christ from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, can we thank God for every single one of those individuals?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.